our Old Testament lesson this morning, we're going to use the King James Version, so the words that you will hear will be different from what are in your pew Bible. This is from the book of Proverbs, significant wisdom for each of us as individuals and all of us together as a congregation. So listen now for what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 has to say for us. Where there is no wisdom, the people perish. Let me repeat that. Where there is no wisdom, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The word of the Lord. Our gospel lesson this morning will be again from the Revised Standard Version. And here we hear what could be called God's vision or Jesus' vision for his disciples, including all of us. Most of us know this as the Great Commission. Reading now from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he wrote this: "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I am skipping the lectionary lessons today because I want to do a lead-in for our town hall meeting that will follow our worship service. The town hall meeting where we're talking about mission and vision, the statement that has been developed and approved by our session, and we want to discuss it after our service and try to begin to unravel it some and make sure that we claim it for our own. For it is important to us as a church. So today I want to look briefly at all three of the passages we just read and speak to them as to how they speak to us of concerning mission and vision. And the first one is Proverbs 29:18. The first part of it goes, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The New Revised Standard Version says, I believe, "Where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint." And then another translation I looked at said, "Where there's no revelation, the people run wild." I like that one. But the idea is, with vision or the word of God, the prophecy or the revelation from God, we have direction. We have purpose. We have vision so that we know where we're trying to go. But without that, we're just running around, not everybody doing their own thing, and we're not unified in trying to accomplish anything. And I like the King James Version where it says, "Without vision, the people will perish." Because if you look at the church in the United States today, I think it's probably safe to say the majority of them are either stagnant or losing ground or closing. And I suspect the primary reason for that is they have no compelling vision that they are intentional about bringing to fruition. Or if they do have a vision, it's just on a piece of paper. They don't really live it out. Or it's only about themselves and it's not reaching out beyond their walls. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the church perishes. And so we need to have that vision that compels us to be moving forward, compels us to be reaching outside of our church, which brings us to the second lesson we had, which is the Great Commission, that tells us to go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, even to the end of the age. And Jesus says, I am with you to the end of the age. We tend to think when we read that, that the primary verb there is go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. But the primary verbs are actually the making disciples, the baptizing people in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded us. The go should probably be translated as you go, meaning that as we go about our daily lives, as we go to work or go wherever we might need to be going, we take the gospel with us. And we invite people to come and see and become part of what God is doing in our midst. And I want to brag on a couple of people that are doing this. I want to brag on Don Bowman. Don is one of our new members of our church. And he I first noticed him coming. He would come to our concerts, and he would come to our Christmas Eve services. And he did this, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years or so. And then he started showing up at our morning worship. And he's been a regular fixture here since then. But what he's done is he invited his friend Janet Carter. Where's Janet? There she is. She too has become a member of our church, now singing in our choir. And together they brought Ray Baker, who is giving us, he's not a member yet, but he's here, he's been coming regularly, and he's given our choir and our bell choir a try, getting involved in the church. And then they've also brought Donna Evans, who we were praying for her earlier, her daughter's baby died. But Donna's been here faithfully for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It started because Don's invited friends. I want to brag on Mitch Cornwell. After the service for Lee Denny on Friday, they had a reception. And he started talking to someone he knew. And she mentioned to him that she was church shopping and that she sings in the choir. Well, both of those things caught Mitch's attention, and he started telling her about our church. She'd just been here for the service. And I look forward to seeing her, hopefully, in the next few weeks. He mentioned she had somewhere else she was going to be this morning. But this is how we do it. There are a number of folks that are part of our church that learned about the church or were invited to this church from where they met at the Y. Some are told about our church at their work from some of our members. This is the way we bring folks here. We say, come and see what's going on, and come and be a part of us. Our third passage is a benediction that Paul wrote right there in the middle of the letter. Now to the one I had it memorized, now I forgot it, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. To the one that can accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. Without vision, we're not going anywhere, but we need our vision to be big, bigger than what we can do on our own. We need a vision that is God's size, where we have to have God with the power at work within us to accomplish those things that are abundantly far greater than what we can ask or imagine. Reminds me of the quote from Augustine, a church theologian back in the late 4th, early 5th centuries. And he said, without God, we can't. Without us, God won't. Get that? Without God, we can't. Without us, God won't. We have to be a part of this vision that's big enough that only God can accomplish it. But we have to be active in it, intentional about it. Since the beginning of this year, just in the past month, I've heard three ideas of things that we might want to do as a church that has us reaching out beyond our walls. Scott Worsham preached for me the last Sunday of December, December 31st, and he suggested that maybe we think about becoming or starting the first girls' Boy Scout troop. You remember the Boy Scouts have opened it up now for girls? And he says, why don't we think about becoming the first girls' Boy Scout troop? I don't know what they're going to call it, but that's kind of awkward, girls' Boy Scout troop. But he talked about how scouting often brings in new members to a church. That as the church hosts them and sponsors them, they become they find the church to, and they become active in it. So that's a great idea that we might want to pursue. My daughter came up with one, Bethany. We got a puppy for Christmas, and so she's got puppy on her brain. And she says, what if we did a dog's park in this big old lot we have over here? And as I looked into as I thought about that, and I kind of just did a little initial research, hardly anything at all, but there are a lot of folks in Easton that would love to see a dog park here, or in Easton, but they can't find a location. We have this big field that nothing's happening with. Maybe we want to look at that. And then Friday, Connie Knopp was telling me that at the end of very end of May and the first week of June, there's going to be the Traveling Vietnam Memorial exhibit will be here in Easton. And that wherever this thing's gone, it's just attracted large crowds, people coming to see it. And that they're looking for volunteers, and they're looking for activities to be going on around the wall or probably around in Easton. And she says, what if we got involved with that? They're going to need lots of volunteers. What if we volunteer? What if we get in on some of the planning? What if we see areas that we might be able to do something? It's a great idea. All three of these are great ideas. Don't know if we'll do any of them. Or we may do all of them. I don't know. Maybe you have a good idea. I'm not sure whether we're going to be taking ideas like that during our town hall meeting. Maybe, I'm not sure. And if we don't, come bring your idea to me or bring it to one of the ones that will be making the presentation or take it to a session member. Don't let money be the obstacle that holds us back. The session took $25,000 from the Carmichael Fund that had been left to us and put it in an epiphany fund. And this is a fund that we can use to start new initiatives, new ministries at our church. So we have that to pull from. Our presbytery has reorganized, and one of the things that did it has an Ignite team that has, I think, a $700,000 budget for this year. And it can be giving away money for ministries that the churches are doing, primarily ministries that the churches are doing outside of their four walls. The money's not the object. The vision. Do we have the vision? Do we have the imagination that'll lead us forward? This is what's there. Without vision, the people perish. As you go, make disciples. Our God is able, with the power within us, to do abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. God's word is telling us to move forward. Will we capture the vision and move with it, intentionally move with it, enthusiastically move with it, passionately move with it? And if we do, I think we'll see that passage in Ephesians come to life of God doing incredibly more things than we can ask or imagine. So let's pray. Lord, be with us. as we move forward as a church. We don't want to be stagnant or declining or definitely not closing, but we want to be faithfully serving you, moving ahead with the visions that you're giving us, the strategies that you will provide us, so that we might be your people in this place and at this time, doing your work. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who is at work within us. Amen.